darkness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars and their courses above, join with our nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand has provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and peace that endureth, Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings are mine with 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. And all I have needed, Thy hand has provided. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Y'all need more preaching than that. Amen. That blessed me. Psalms 119, verse 9. Psalms 119, verse 9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word." It's possible that a lot of young men don't even ask this question, "How do I cleanse my way?" A lot of young people, probably young men, are thinking, "How do I make my way? How am I going to make a living?" And if you're not asking that, then you're not even in the ballgame. A young man needs to ask that. How am I going to make my own way? You can't live with mom and dad forever, right? You need to ask, how am I going to make my own way? But how you're going to make your way is not the most important question. Now, A mother might ask, how can I get my kid to clean his room? And that's one of those great mysteries we haven't quite figured out yet. But the really important question is, how can a young man cleanse his way? Now, I don't believe in a gender-neutral Bible. Here it says, how can a young man cleanse his way? Not a gender. You can buy a gender-neutral Bible if you want one that doesn't offend your sensibilities. But, you know, the truth is, I think maybe sometimes God's speaking to young men. And you don't want to take that away. You know, we do want to know what God has to say specifically to young men. However, I think the operative term here is young. And so a whole lot of it's going to apply to young women. But what he says is, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. He's giving you, it's not really a rhetorical question, but he's asking the question because so many people don't bother asking it. There's a whole lot of young men that don't ask this question. How can I cleanse my way? How can I live right? How can I do the right thing? If you'd ask the question, you'd find out how hard the answer is. But you have to ask the question. There's a lot of parents that aren't asking the question, how can I help my young man to do right? And if they're careless, it's possible that they might actually hinder their young man from doing right. It's possible. How can a young man cleanse his way? That's the real question that we all should be asking, especially young men. And just by the force of inclusion, young women. Youth has certain problems. Now here we're speaking about God's opinion. God sees things a little different than we do. We might say that there are other things more important than the spiritual problems in a young man's life. But God is saying the most important question here, the question I'm trying to get you to ask yourself, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Is it possible that God knows something that we don't know? Is it possible that He can foresee things that we can't foresee? It looks to me like God is making a general statement of a general principle that there's a problem with the way of young men. There's a problem with their way of thinking. There's a problem with their way of acting. There's a problem with the way of young men. Now, someone might say, I don't have any problem with my young man. Well, that's good. I'm glad. But God says He thinks there's a problem with the way of young men. And I believe personally that this is a universal experience in all cultures. I don't know of any culture that says, you know, we don't have problems with our young generation. I don't know of one. What I do know is that God seems to have put a rhetorical question here in order to teach us something. Maybe we should read between the lines a little bit. Find out what else He might be trying to say here. Like when He says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Maybe He's trying to say, there's a problem with young men. And by extension, young women. There's a problem with youth. Let me tell you the main problem. And that's that old rotten sin nature that's in all of us. There's a real problem. It's a spiritual problem. The problem is spiritual. You know, we might say, you know, you might actually get psychologists to tell you that, no, this is just a normal phase in life. And God might just disagree and say, no, there's a problem with the way young men think. There's a problem with youth. There's an innate, inherent problem from the day they're born that something goes wrong, goes haywire at a certain time. Just like, you know, some cars, some wiring goes wrong at a certain number of miles in. I mean, you're glad when it's just wiring. You don't want the thing to explode on you. But that's the problem. There is some inherent problem in young men. This is God's opinion. Now, I hope that you have had the benefits of a lot of things that hinder these problems or that help you overcome these problems. I hope that you have been wise ever since you were young. And I hope that your parents have foreseen certain things and gotten you past certain problems. I hope that. But let me tell you something. There is a problem with young men. Universally, young women, there's a problem with youth. And it's a spiritual problem. Now, it's not an intellectual problem. It doesn't mean that young men are not as smart as their parents. I remember reading about Adoniram Judson, and he was not a believer. His parents were humble believers, and they worked hard and they sent him to school. He actually got himself an education because his parents put him through it. He came out of that school, came back. He didn't believe in God, and he argued with his parents. And he was bright. He was a smart kid, and he won all the arguments. But he was wrong. His parents were humble Christians, believers. Adoniram Judson came back from school, intelligent, intellectual, educated, knowing a whole lot, and could argue, and felt like he had the best of the argument. Felt all proud of himself because his parents couldn't show him where he was wrong. But he was wrong. You see, it's God saying you're wrong. It's God that has this opinion about young men. It's God that's saying there is something inherently wrong with the way of young people. Young men, and by extension young women, have certain problems, certain difficulties in life. And they're going to have to go through it and face it. And God's giving you some clues on how you can solve your problem, how you can cleanse your way. Young men are unnaturally lascivious. If you're a young man, you know what I'm talking about. Lustful. Unnaturally lascivious. I know, somebody will tell you, this is just natural, it's just normal. And it's true that there is a certain amount of sexual desire that is natural and normal. But what I'm telling you now is that it's unnatural in young men who have a sin nature, and it has to be controlled. The Bible says it very clearly, flee fornication. You watch out for these things. Jesus said you lust after a woman in your heart. You look on her to lust after her in your heart. You've committed adultery with her already. You've got to be careful. But this is one of the problems of young men. I've noticed, it was true in my case, that another problem with young men is a certain rebelliousness in their nature. Get to a certain age, they just become unruly. Begin to be rebellious. Just a phase? Just normal? No. It's a spiritual problem. Rebellion is wrong. It's true that you might actually convince your parents that the way you're acting is normal. You might convince teachers that the way you're acting is normal. You might convince the whole society, psychologists all over the place, educated, and they might all agree that your actions are normal. But God says, no, that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's an unruly rebellion that's inherent in young men. God's saying, how, wherewithal, shall a young man cleanse his way? There's something wrong with the way of a young man. You see this rebellion in the way young people dress. You see it in the kind of music they listen to. You can see their rebellion in their general contempt for authority. Constant contempt of authority. You can see it when they roll their eyes and when you tell them what you're supposed to do. It's so hard for a young person to not be rebellious because it's inbred. There's something inside young people that's just rebellious. Why else would they dress the way that... What in the world would cause young people to tattoo themselves with bones or thorns or who knows what else? What causes young people to perforate their body in the most unthinkable places? What's wrong with people? Well, it's young people. Let me tell you something. It's not that your dad and your mom don't understand. They understand. They know exactly what's going on. It's rebellion. It's just an unruly nature, and guess what?
God agrees with your parents.
I'm not trying to be lighthearted here. I am simply trying to say God has an opinion about this problem that we all have. And God's opinion is, young people, you're wrong. Is that hard to understand? Mom and dad are right. Young people, you're wrong. You see, when you hear rap music that's just ugly and mean and vile and foul-mouthed, this is just not an alternate music style. When you talk about rock concerts where people are wearing pictures of the devil, weirdos up on the stage doing nut stuff, crazy people, mom and dad aren't wrong to think there's something wrong with that. And if you're one of these supportive parents that decide you're just going to go with your kids in order to support them in their seeking out their identity, well, then God's against you too. You're not going to change, parents. You don't have the answers. You don't have the power to fix your young person. I understand. God has the power, but you don't. But it's not going to help for you to give in. It's not going to help for you to say, there's no problem. This is just my son trying to find his identity. He doesn't know who he is yet. And when he finds out who he is, we'll all love him just the way he is. No. Maybe God's got a different idea. Maybe God has some concept of what he expected young people to be like. Maybe God's right and the whole world is wrong. I would assume that that's true. Young men have a preference for poor companions. It's incredible how young people pick the wrong friends. How they're constantly wanting to hang around with the wrong kids. Now, my children don't like it when I use them as examples, so I won't. But I have known some kids whose friends show up on a motorcycle and have 10 studs earrings on his ear and expect me not to comment. Expect me not to say anything. My kids quit bringing their friends home. I have run off more kids from my house. Or just go out and tell them, hey, I don't like you and I don't want my kids hanging around you. Just go away. And you know, they do get the hint. They don't come back. I don't think I've had one come back after I've told them something like that. We had this one kid kept coming to our house, and then somebody, we were driving down the road, and somebody pointed out graffiti on the wall that had the name of one of my kids on it. I'm not using any one of them as an example, but had one of my kids' names written right there on the wall. And they just happened to mention back in the back seat, and I heard that it was that kid that was coming over our house that had done that. Next time he came, I went out there and I said, get lost. He said, well, we're just friends. Not anymore. Just go away. How is it possible that you can pick the worst friends? How is it that you gravitate toward the nincompoops? Toward the nitwits, toward the people who don't know up from down. It's an amazing thing. I know you think, oh man, you older folks, you just don't understand things. I mean, you're just out of it. This is the new world. This is the new way things are. No, this is the way things have been all along. This is the way things were back when Psalm 119 was written. He didn't say, someday in the future, young men are going to have problems. What he said was, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Makes me think back in David's time, young men had problems then too. And their parents had problems dealing with their young men at the same time. And the same kind of problems. Maybe not as bad. And some young men have fewer problems than others. But God says, young men, you're wrong, and your folks are right. Young men are afflicted with a general carelessness, just a general heedlessness, just kind of a loosey-goosey, do whatever you feel like, you know, don't want to have any responsibility. You ever heard a young man say, my great ambition in life is I want to be a bum? I've actually heard young men tell me that. I want to be a bum. I don't want to have any responsibility. Listen, I grew up alongside a whole bunch of flower children. Flower children. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. Flower children. You talk about a bunch of idiots. I don't know what happened somewhere down the line, way back when. I don't know when it happened, but somewhere, somehow, the cheese fell off the cracker. It's just that simple. These kids were dumb, I'm telling you. You talk to them and you're just not real sure they heard your question. Flower children, but everything was cool, man. Everything's loose. No problems. Just a general carelessness. Young men are confused about manliness. Don't even have a clue what manliness is. Did you know that some young men think that manliness is getting drunk? There's nothing manly about getting drunk. There is nothing manly about vomiting. There's nothing manly about hugging a toilet. There's nothing manly about a hangover or losing your job because you didn't show up. There's nothing manly about that. That's not men's stuff. That's not the way God made Adam. There are some young men that think immorality is manly. I actually know some young men who think daring stupidity is manly. I mean, who can do the stupidest thing? I've actually read about young men who took a dare on Russian roulette and blew their brains out. Really, son, are you that stupid? I mean, don't go there. That's not manliness. That's not what it's about. Young men are confused about what it means. And I'll tell you, young women are confused about femininity too. Don't understand what real attractiveness is. Because there is this superficial attractiveness, and it is attractive, there's no doubt. However, that's not the real attractiveness. I'm telling you, it's funny. I really don't understand this infatuation that some young women have with these actors. Johnny Dipstick and Brad Armpit and all them actors nowadays that are the real ones. You know, they were different ones when I was a kid, but now they're... I don't get it. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, these people aren't good looking. They have got nothing to say of any real value. What is the infatuation with these people? God is saying, listen to me, there's something wrong with the way of young men. He says, wherewithal? And thank you, Lord, for asking the question, because not enough people ask this question. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? There's something else. The Lord is making it clear this is a spiritual problem. It is a spiritual problem. He didn't say, how can a young man straighten up his act? He said, how can a man cleanse his way? There is a certain pollution in people in general, and that when it comes to a head in adolescence and young adulthood, the problem is spiritual. The problem is sin. The problem is not just rebellion against parents. The problem is rebellion against God. You're not just rebelling against the hypocritical society, or what in my day they call the establishment. You're not rebelling against the establishment. You're rebelling against God. God says you need a cleansing. You need your sins purged. You need these vile, perverse, abnormal thoughts get out of your head. You need to be straightened out spiritually. This is God's statement. He says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. There is also an implication here when God asks this question that some young men would like to be clean. Now, it's true there's a whole lot of young men that have no interest, and maybe nobody's ever bothered to deal with them. There are a lot of young men that still have no interest in straightening their act up, starting to think straight. They don't want to live right. They don't want to live for God. And they're not seeking God. However, the reason why the Lord is asking this question is because God is interested in young men who want their way cleansed. Amen. And did you know that God begins to deal with young people in their youth, begins to call them from youth, might even surprise them, make them think there's something special because God's talking to them. And the truth is, God is speaking to young people, and He's saying, you know you want to be cleansed from your way. You know you want to be right with God. You know you want to be straightened out to be right with your parents. God is saying, not only is there something wrong with your way, and it's a spiritual problem, there are some young men who want the solution. And God's got the solution. God is calling men, and young women. But it also presupposes a difficulty. We're talking about the King James Bible. Most versions will just have it simple. They'll say, how can a young man cleanse his way? But the King James Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? That's not an accident. Because when he says wherewithal, he means this is a problem. It's more like our modern, how in the world is this going to happen? How in the world can a young man cleanse his way? How in the world can you change the rut you're in? How in the world can you get rid of your friends and live on the right road and begin to please God and straighten up the way you think? How in the world? Because this is not an easy thing. It's a difficult thing. You parents know what I'm talking about. How in the world can you get through to your son? How can you explain? How can you teach? You know the difficulty. We all know the difficulty. Wherewithal? Something hinders young people from getting their way cleansed. Something's in the way. Pride. When we went up preaching in Colorado, we talked with a whole lot of young people that lived in the parks. Just lived there. They were from broken homes, didn't like mama's rules, just left. Many, many, many different scenarios, but basically the same thing. Just got tired of the bronca, the trouble, the bother, the irritation. They got tired of it all and just left. And now they're living with all their true friends out in the forest. The little park, actually, but it's got some trees, so they think it's a forest. I talked to a bunch of them. I actually had some of them break down into tears, crying. Everything went wrong, and, you know, I've made this bad decision, and I got this problem, and I got this other problem. And I'd ask them the simple, it's a simple rhetorical question. Why don't you just go back to mom and say you were wrong? No, I can't do that. That's just pride. Just too proud to go back to mom and say, mom, you're right. Your rules are right. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. Now, I realize there's a whole lot of situations where that's not really even an option. Mom's a drunk. Yeah. But you know, a whole lot of young people have a good mom and dad waiting for them at the house. And they could just go back and say, I'm sorry. I wasn't thinking straight. Amen. Can you forgive me? Can you help me? And they would be received with open arms. Amen. And the only thing in the way is pride. There's an awful lot of very, very difficult situations or arguments between parents and children right now where the kids haven't left the home, but they might as well have. They've left in everything but. They're still there and they still eat, but they don't talk and they don't love and they don't obey. And really the problem is in the young person's pride, not willing to say, these are the parents and I'm the kid and I should be doing what they say. You know, that happened to me. I was a rebellious young man, and I fear to say what might have happened to me if the Lord hadn't changed me. If God hadn't broken in on my conscience and on my mind and shown me that I was the one that was wrong, and I can tell you that I changed almost overnight. And I realized my parents were right and I was wrong. And it's just that simple. It's just that simple. You say, I'm wrong. God is right. I'm wrong. My parents are right. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? It's a difficult thing because of pride. Because you get into a rut what other people expect out of you. You think people expect you to act that way. You think all your friends expect you to act that way. Your peers, you don't want to change in front of them. You don't know how to explain it. I didn't know how to explain it to my friends. I just didn't. I just walked away. Didn't explain it to them. Just lost all of them. Some kids are desperate. They just don't know. They don't know what to do. They don't know where they're going next. They don't know which way to turn. Just absolutely know that they can't fix the problem. They don't know how to talk to dad and mom. They don't know how to get right with God. Just don't know how to fix the problem. That's why he says, wherewithal. This is not an easy thing. It's a difficulty. But it's a difficulty that has a solution. A solution exists. And it's one of those solutions that works. It's the solution that will actually fix the problem. And I don't mean fix it temporarily so you still hear this knocking noise in here. I mean it'll fix it all the way. God's not offering a partial solution. He's offering the whole solution. The solution exists. Notice in the first place that the solution is for the young man. It's not for the mom and dad. I'm sure there's a lot of parents that have made some severe, horrible mistakes in raising their children. And their children are paying the price for it. But young man, after you're out of your parents' house, give you maybe a month to get yourself on your feet, it's not your parents' responsibility anymore. And it's not your parents' fault anymore. You mess up then, it's your fault. You're a young man, sorry. God lays the responsibility squarely on you. And that's if your parents did everything wrong. What happens if your parents did everything right? What happens if your parents weren't bar hoppers, whoremongers, lazy deadbeat dads? What if they were good Christians? People who believed in God. Now, I'm not saying anybody that there's any parents that didn't make mistakes. But come on, man, we know a good parent when we see one. You ought to be able to recognize good parents when you see them. And let me tell you, God is, they're certainly not going to put the blame or the responsibility on the parents if you throw away your life because you don't want to straighten out your way. Or you don't want to cleanse up your way. I got news for you. You raise a child in this age and you do your best. You read them the Bible. You take them to church. You teach them the truth. They can still mess up their lives. A young man can make the decision to go against everything his parents taught him and gave him the example to do and destroy his own life. And it's not the parents' fault. And it's not the pastor's fault. It's the young man's fault. You have to make this decision. You, it's all squarely on you, young man. You've got to make the right decision. God is saying, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? He's not rebuking parents, telling them how you've got to fix the problem. Young man, it's up to you. You've got to find your way with God. You've got to walk up to God and talk to God and start following God. I don't know if you realize that maybe it's possible some of you were raised and were not raised spiritually, did not know. But let me tell you something. Every single young person comes to an age where no longer do they depend on their parents, but they never reach the age that they don't depend upon God. They need God from the very day they step out from under their parents' roof. You need God in your life, and if you don't have God in your life, that's the recipe for disaster. You lose it all, even if you become rich. You lose it all. How? Wherewith all shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The answer is a spiritual answer. It's a spiritual solution. You need to be cleansed. You need to take heed to your way according to God's word. It also makes it clear that this is the only answer. There's not any other solution. You can fix some problems just by taking heed. But if you want the real solution, you've got to take heed thereto according to His Word. The solution is God's Word. It's God's way. This is the solution. This is God's answer. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? He said, I've already explained it. It's in a book. This is how you do it. How? Take heed thereto according to my word. It's my word, he says. I've given you the wisdom. I've given you the answers. I've told you what to watch out for. It's all right here. It's written down. And it's your responsibility to find out. It's not your parents' responsibility to make you read the Bible in the morning. It's your responsibility to read the Bible in the morning. You young man, it's your responsibility to find God and to seek His will in your life and to know what God wants out of you and to make the right decisions. Parents can't do that for you. And parents will not bear the responsibility. Mind you, you can break your parents' hearts. But it won't be their responsibility. You notice also that the answer is not an easy answer. If you're looking for an easy answer, this is not where to come. You know, it's not like one of those commercials, how to lose weight, you know, by taking two pills a day. I saw one that said, when is a bottle of diet pills worth $153? And the caption at the end was, when it works. $153. You know, they don't want to sell you two bottles. They just want to sell you that first one. It don't even have to work. They don't care. They got you $153. They got it all in one fell swoop. You also seen these diet pills that say, you know, this really works with diet and exercise. Yeah. Of course, diet and exercise works without them pills. You want an easy solution? It won't work. It's the hard solution that's going to work. It's this difficult solution. He didn't say, look, just do these two steps and everything's over. He said, take heed to your way according to thy word. There's no easy solution for your problems. This life, God never said this life was going to be easy. He put Adam and Eve in a garden and told them, you take care of it. I don't know how big that garden was, but I know gardening is not easy work. God expected us from the start to work, to take heed, to put out some effort, to put in a whole lot of labor. That's what God is expecting. And young man, it's the same old answer that you've been hearing all your life. Clean your room. Do your job. Pay attention. Work hard. It's not an easy answer. But God is saying, You do it according to my word, and it'll work. Your way will be cleansed. Amen. Things will start working. Amen. It's also a promise. He didn't say this to leave you hanging. He said, do it according to my word. And that becomes a promise. You don't have to do it alone. You're not alone. You see, because when you trust in God's Word, you're trusting in God. And God is going to honor those that trust in Him. God is going to take care of those things you can't. He says, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. This is a principle God is saying. Trust me. Give me your life. Put me first. Pay attention to my Word and apply it to your life. This is a spiritual solution that works. I've seen it work. It worked in my life. Let me tell you something. It worked in my life. It makes me fearful to think where I might have wound up. What could have happened to me? All of you men know what I'm talking about. How you could have gone wrong. You could have done wrong. God could have just taken the feet out from under you and knocked you on your face. But God shows us that He can redeem us and take us out of this horrible mess we get ourselves into. There is a solution. It's a spiritual solution. It's not an easy one, but it works. And you don't have to do it alone. God is on your side. God walks right down along with you. All those that trust in Him, He is always near them. He's always close to them when they call. You give your life to Jesus Christ. You begin to put Him first. You say, well, I don't know what that means, put Him first. Okay, start out tithing. I mean, let's get practical here, right? You know, I don't know if you've taught your children this from very little, but you ought to. My kids get an allowance, they tithe it. First thing, make a little money, tithe it. Why? God first. God demands to be first. He expects to be first. You put Him last and find out what happens. You put Him first and you reap the benefits. No wonder everything goes wrong. God is last in your life. You put God first. You take heed to your way according to His Word. You take the counsels of this book, which means you're going to have to read it. You, young man, you're going to have to read it. I don't mean you're going to get your pastor to read it for you. You're going to have to read the book. Because He says, take heed thereto according to thy word. It's your job to do this. You put God first. You pay attention to His word. You read it and you apply His principles to your life. You give your life that in that way to Jesus Christ, and He will cleanse your way. He will straighten out your path. You will walk down that glorious path of fellowship with Him, and your problems will be solved. You can start fighting the spiritual fight. You won't be having to fight all these sorry worldly fights. Let's pray.